Welcome to the Unfolding Podcast, a space where we explore what it looks like to really trust yourself, say no without guilt, and live your life like it actually belongs to you. I am Erica Voll. I'm a decision mentor and inner trust guide, and I help women in midlife untangle from the life patterns of shape-shifting and keeping everyone else happy. Claim how they are uniquely designed to make decisions and understand their unique strengths. Using human design as a lens, we clear the noise of conditioning so their no feels powerful and their yes feels true. And then they can move forward without self-doubt, guilt, and the pressure to prove anything. On this show, we have honest conversations about self-trust, boundaries, energy, identity, and especially for women in midlife who are done living by the shoulds and second-guessing themselves. If you have taken every personality test, followed the recommended path, and still can't shake that feeling that you've been spending your whole life trying to fit in, when what you really wanted was to belong, you are in the right place. You'll hear stories, insights, and tools rooted in human design, coaching, and real life. Not to tell you what to do, like another self-help book, but to help you really hear yourself so you can stop overthinking and start making decisions that feel grounded, clear, and true. Today, we have a special guest, and I'm going to be doing interviews maybe once a month coming up over the next few months, because I have been part of a summit and a couple of other things recently, and I just feel like I love hearing other women's stories, and I wanted to offer this to you as a listener of Unfolding. So today, we have Heather Wick. Heather and I met at a coaching retreat for our life coaching certification. And Heather was the first person who asked me for a human design session. So when I talk about that friend who said, "Are you going to do a sessions?" This is the woman I am talking about. Heather works at the intersection of energy and enterprise as a chief energetics officer, helping visionary founders and their teams expand into the next level their business is calling them to. Her signature work, building the energetic operating systems of a business, is what companies turn to when they have optimized everything on the surface and know the real work is happening somewhere deeper. I'm so excited for you to hear from Heather. So let's get to the interview. Well, welcome, Heather, to the Unfolding Podcast. I'm so excited you're here. Oh, I just love you so much.
I am so happy to be here.
So you describe your work at the intersection of energy and enterprise, which is a phrase that would have made myself 20 years ago, would have made my head hurt, and I would have been so skeptical, and I would have been like, wait, what? So tell us what that means and that you are a chief energetics officer. Tell us all about this.
Yeah, so I mean, my work right now, my body of work is really all around doing energy work for companies and businesses. And I've been working primarily with tech and fintech companies, which has been really fun and interesting. And also, it's just an interesting space to be in because people either really get it or really don't. And so there are a lot of skeptics. And there's also a lot of people that it really makes sense to. But essentially what I do is I come in and I help the founder meet the soul of their business. And my belief is that your business has its own energy field, its own soul, and that we can work with it like a business partner to help grow, to help increase like team communication and team flow. It's really like an underlying current in whatever is going on with the business. And by shifting the energy, we can shift the outcomes. And so I would say that is my work in a very, very brief nutshell.
So talk more about this energy. This business has its own energy, because I learned this from you and I learned this from our mutual friend, Anne. And it wasn't until I started to work with you and I experienced it that I started to see what you were both talking about. Can you talk more about this part of it?
Yeah. So this actually came to me. I also work with Anne. So I was introduced to this idea by Anne and Brianna, who are both of some of our mutual mentors. But What happened for me originally was that I kept finding myself signing up for business trainings, and I did not have a business. I could not figure out why I was going to these trainings. I'm like, why? It doesn't make sense. I have no reason to be here. But I kept feeling like I had to sign up for things. It was like I was being pushed in the background by something to just show up and do this work. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I finally got around to starting a business. And after I started my business and really started to work to grow it and was introduced to these ideas of your business has its own soul or its own energy field, I realized that that was part of what had been going on in the background. It was my business kind of like tapping me on the shoulder, being like, all right, let's get this going. Let's start this business so we can get in motion and make our impact in the world. And that is really my understanding of how the energy of the business works, is it is here with its own mission, its own values, its own purpose. And you as the founder are an energetic match for that business. For whatever reason, you two are in harmony and you're here to be a steward of that energy, but you're not the same thing. So as we begin to work with the energy, what a lot of people realize is that, you know, the energy of your business encompasses not just the way it sits today, but also the version of your business that's like 20 years down the road. And so the experience of a lot of founders is that their business is asking a lot of them, or it feels really big, or they're like, it's just so overwhelming if you're very intuitive to like, to be like, how can I do that? Like, this thing is asking so much of me. How can I do this? And once founders begin to realize that, yes, this energy is like asking a lot of me, but it might not be today. Like, how can we kind of attune so that we can work with whatever needs to come together today to move towards that 20-year version? It starts to get a lot, it just feels a lot less pressury. It feels a lot less intense, and it begins to be something that you can work with instead of like killing yourself to try and get this business off the ground, because you start to realize, oh, like, maybe that is for 5 years from now. And like today, all I need to do is send this one email. And like, that's good. So yeah.
And for listeners, my experience was about a year ago with Heather. And what was so interesting to me is that like, there is an animal that comes in every time I meet with this energy of my business. And it is a moose. And the first time it showed up, it was long legged, lanky, like sort of stumbling around, and like it has evolved as my business has evolved. And I also had Heather calls it a sacred boardroom meeting with my business recently when some things were feeling a little out of sorts. And I got this message from my business and the moose, who was now looking very stern. And it said, I am doing so much work and I need you to step up too. And like, after the eclipse season happened, like I felt this huge shift, and I have not met with my business lately since then, but like I can feel a shift in my business. But working with Heather was so amazing because we did a session and then like 2 days later, I signed on a new client and I onboarded them in a completely different way. It was just, I don't want to say it was magical, but it felt very magical in a really, but a really grounded way. So Heather, how did you start to do energy work, and why with businesses? And how did you get here? And when did you realize that this was work you really were meant to do?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, in reality, I've been doing energy work for a very long time. I just didn't realize it. So I started out right after high school. Actually, I went to massage therapy school and I learned how to do massage. And I very quickly learned, you know, whenever I've massaged people in my life, I can feel like if you have a place that's painful on your body, like I can feel it in my hands, that the texture's different, the way that the tissue moves is different. And I just thought everyone experienced a body like that when they were giving a massage. And then as you're in massage school and you're like getting massages from all sorts of different people, I was like, oh, this isn't a thing for everybody. And so I think that was when I first started working with energy, but just didn't have language around it for a long time. kind of the next step on the evolution was when Erica and I met was at a retreat, our Illuminator retreat, which was for a life coaching program that we did. And at that retreat, my business is like always kind of pushing me in the background a little bit. She requires a lot of me. But I remember just being like so emotional and saying, you know, I'm here to heal the world with energy work. And I have no idea how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. Like of course, I think we are so good sometimes at playing down our own skills, but I'm like, where would I even start? And then our mutual mentor, Brianna Borton, offered an energy medicine program. And so now I've spent the last 2 years actually diving into how it works and the actual, I don't know, I'm an operations person, so I like to know how things operate. Just makes me more confident in my own skills and abilities. And also, I just like knowing how I just like knowing how things work. And so I started doing the energy work originally on people. And again, my business in the background is kind of like more like you need to make more of an impact. And so I started looking for the places that I could make more of an impact. And what I started to see was that if we could go to the actual businesses and companies that are building our future and set a different foundation where the energy matters and the frequency matters and people can feel the impact of the energy in their system instead of just blindly going around and being extractive to either, you know, the earth's resources or humans' resources or whatever that is, that will be part of what shifts the world going forward. And so that is really my mission, whether I want it to be or not. You know, it is a calling that is that's sometimes a little overwhelming, to be honest, but I just have to remind myself that I am an energetic match for my business, and whatever is asking me of, I am capable of. I don't have to bring the whole vision to life today, but I do have to continue moving on the path that helps create the businesses of the future that care about the energy that they're putting out into the world, that care about what they are asking for in return, and that care how they're impacting the whole of humanity, because I think that we need it now more than ever. We need more aware business owners.
Mm-hmm. And one of the most impactful, for me, one of the most impactful posts that you've put up recently was like about the big box stores and the energy of these big businesses. And I was like, I was so fascinated by that and how, I mean, we're going through a major shift anyway. I've talked about the change in the eras that we're going through, like from the era of planning to the era of the individual. And human design is like we felt it astrologically. We're feeling it also energetically in so many different ways. But I just found that so fascinating that like we're seeing businesses needing to change, but there's so much heel digging in of like, no, we're not changing the way we're doing things. So I found that post really, really interesting. Can you talk more about bigger businesses that you...
Yeah. So, you know, when you're looking at an energy field and like for context, I like to describe this as a, you know, if the business is a house on a hill, I'm walking up to it and I'm on the outside looking in. I'm not in the energy field because I don't have consent, and consent's important. So I'm simply seeing what I can see from the outside. I'm walking around. I can maybe see the front porch. I can maybe, you know, maybe see in the window a little bit. But if the curtains are pulled, I can't. Like, I don't have all the information. But from the outside looking in, it just feels like there is this, I don't know. It's almost like I describe it as like a gluttonous feel, or like it's like an over consumption, or more, 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 which I think, you know, is for a bottom line of business is probably, you know, probably in there for a reason.
Yeah.
But like, how can we shift it from more, 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 more to being in reciprocity? And to be honest, I don't have all the answers for this yet, right? Like, there might be some pain in corporations if they had to shift that perspective. But if, you know, do we choose to shift going from overconsumption and more to a more sustainable practice if it's going to give us longevity in the long run? Or do we just like keep going more until we explode? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would prefer the longevity and sustainability. But I don't know that everyone has the foresight for that. So yeah, it's just it's always interesting to observe. And also one of the things that I notice in these bigger companies that have been around for a long time is there's kind of like a trail going behind them. So, you know, each CEO that comes in or upper management person, like they kind of all put their own stuff into this energy signature. And so it can get really, you know, it's not cut and dry. It's much more cut and dry when you're in a business with like one founder, one business. It's like way easier. When we start getting into teams, it gets a little more complicated. But there is also like the line of how it's been. But we also have to remember, sorry, I feel like this is getting a little rambly and existential here. But the thing that we remember too is that there's also a lot of good in this line. You know, there's corporations that have done a lot of good work over their life as a company. And so even though there's like some less than ideal things right now, there's also a lot of good that's been done over the years. And so we get to use that as a resource too, to help bring back balance as we're working with the energy field. So there's really a lot of potential and, you know, we can always shift things for greater flow and greater ease, and balance is really what we're going for.
Mm-hmm. So tell me how, when you work with a business, how you work with the founder. And like I know you talk about frequency shifts and we talk about midlife. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, tell me about how that frequency and that energy shifts.
Yeah. So when I work with a founder, I usually, our first session is generally my sacred boardroom session where the founder and I go on a guided journey to meet the soul of your business and just start to develop a relationship with it. That's really the goal of that session, is for the founder to meet their business soul, realize that it exists and it actually has information to communicate to them so that they can stop feeling so alone. If they're at the top, they can stop feeling like they have to figure it all out right now. I think it becomes a little bit easier to recognize where it's like, you know, drawing you to its vision down the road, but you're still, you know, in this current place in time. And so it just helps things be a little less overwhelming with that gap. And then after that initial session, I do weekly energy work for the business. So I create an altar for the business, which is just a representation of the energy of the business with physical objects. So I just the business kind of tells me what it wants, and I create just a little space for the business. And then every week I sit back down with an item from the altar and just work with the energy of the business specifically. And my primary goal is generally for more flow and more balance, is overall an optimal state for an energetic entity, whether it's human or a business or whatever. We're going for flow and balance. That's kind of our like happy place. And also, if there's something specific that the founder wants to work on, we can bring that in. So for example, sometimes I'll do, you know, if someone's working on a launch of something, we will set the frequency of whatever they're launching so that we're calling in ideal customers, or, you know, we're communicating the message clearly. Sometimes we will set the frequency for, specific growth numbers. Sometimes we will be working, I do a lot of work with teams too. So we'll like set the team frequency and also hold space for whatever comes up when team frequencies shift, because a lot of times when there's a lot of people and relational pieces, it just gets a little messy, you know? It brings everything up when we're asking people to match us at that frequency level. So I, those are like the primary things that I'm working with. And I just sit with the energy each week, work to optimize it, work to bring in more flow, see if there's any guidance coming in from the business that maybe the founder missed. And a lot of my founders, you know, they actually don't have time to do this. Like they actually have real serious work that they need to be doing and they have no time or I don't want to say no interest in working with the energy of their business, but they need some support maintaining it because it's not like they, you know, for me, I feel like I'm pretty connected. And so I sit down and connect pretty easily, but for some, it's like learning a whole new way of being. So it's nice to have me just go in and do it for them every week.
Yeah.
And then I check in over Voxer and let them know what I see. They let me know if there's anything else going on. And we just keep working towards whatever our vision is. You know, we kind of keep that North Star of wherever we're going. And that's what we're building towards.
So when you say you work with teams, what kind of reaction do people get when you're like, I'm working with the energy of this team? And are they like, wait, what the heck? Or...
So I will say so far, I have primarily all worked with the founder to set the frequency of like what they're building within their team of their company. So we're setting that frequency and then inviting their existing team into it. And if they are not a match, it's either the person finds their way out the door or the founder realizes that there's some things going on that they actually can't. They just don't have the capability to tolerate it anymore. And if they've been like, sometimes they will know that that's been going on and just have been trying to not let someone go. Or, you know, there's real relationships here. But sometimes once we set that frequency, it just gets almost unbearable for everybody involved until something shifts. And so they might leave. And then, but the really cool thing is that if that happens, the right people are coming in like right away. It's pretty wild. It's like 48 hours of like somebody like, okay, I had to let someone go. I found a new person. She came in, she started working and literally built an entire back system that the founder didn't even know she needed, but was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then somebody else coming in and like having all of these marketing skills that she like knew she wanted some of them, but like didn't know she needed like the depth that the people brought. And not only that, but they were like self-starters that came in and just started doing things without being asked, because that's the frequency that we're setting, is like we're calling in this team that is really supportive to the mission. And it's, you know, they're going to be in line and we are going to support them too. And so, yeah, that's like, that will be the one that I will share about here, because you know, not everything is something I have permission to share, but
yeah,
that one I know that I can. And it's just really powerful to see what happens on the team level, and also a little uncomfortable to hold sometimes, because like I said, like that human aspect and that, like those relationships can be tender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk about, from a founder's perspective, like how you work with a founder and their frequency. And I know that when we talk about midlife, I don't know how many of the founders that you're working with are in that stage, but like talk about how the frequency shifts in mid, you mentioned in your intake form, not intake form, your application, that like how the frequency shifts in midlife, like what does that look like and how does that affect our businesses?
Yeah, I would say most of my founders are kind of in that midlife range. And I will say that their personal frequencies, from what I've seen, are much more discerning. I will say that is the overall tone, is that, you know, they are generally short on time. They are short on capacity because they're already holding so much. And they are usually at a spot where they've maybe said yes to more than they should have leading up to working together. And they're just at not a breaking point, because I don't think that they would break, but also like a, I don't want to do it like this anymore. What can I clear up? They're at a clearing phase of like, let's get all the extra fluff or stuff that's not working out of here. And like, just, I don't have the tolerance anymore that I used to. And I also don't have the desire to carry things for everyone else anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, how do I get energetic support so that I don't have to be the one carrying it all alone?
Mm-hmm. And how does the separation between personal energy and business energy, how does that play out with you?
Yeah. So that is actually where I start with almost all founders is, oftentimes when we have a business, one of my clients described it as, it's like her baby, right? You know, she was like, this is my idea. And it's like a passion project. And, you know, a lot of these businesses, like I said, are really like, they get us hooked in by like the vision, which yes. is amazing. But also, especially in the beginning, when it is such a heavy lift to get a business off the ground, the founder's energy usually gets really entwined with the energy of their business. And it's, you know, if it's like your energy is represented by a ball of red yarn and your business's energy is represented by a ball of blue yarn, it's like a purple mess in there. So everybody's really, it's like you're pulling on your business's energy is pulling on you, and it's just not a healthy ecosystem. So normally what I do is our very first session, we spend a lot of time separating out the founder and separating out the business and making them both kind of sit in their own sovereign containers. So now instead of, like if I'm feeling depleted, I'm pulling on the business's energy, or if the business is having a bad month, I'm making it mean something about myself. We get to really separate it out. And now all of a sudden we can look at it. I had one of my founders say, you know, it's like the difference between riding on the roller coaster and observing that there's a roller coaster. You know, she's like, I can see all the ups and downs, but I'm not emotionally involved in every single one anymore. And now when I can see, I just can see like, oh, I need to flip this switch or do this thing. It's just, you know, instead of being like, oh man, my numbers last month, they just plummeted. And like, I must be awful at this business. I should just shut the doors. It's like, oh, I had a bad month. Let me look at things. I actually turned this little switch off on Google Ads. And so now it's just like it's sending people to the wrong place. And so I wasn't converting the same way I was converting before because they weren't going to the right web page. Mm-hmm. And then we fix it.
Yeah.
So it's just like that clarity that gets so much easier when we aren't making our businesses success or failure mean something about us, or making, you know, our own our own identity be so tied up with the business. You know, I am a founder is like, some people can get really, I don't know how else to describe it, but like in their ego about it. And like, this is their identity where it's like, oh, I'm Heather and I happen to be a founder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a different frequency.
Yeah. And as a business owner, there's a part of me that's like, when I go to the dentist, they say, well, what do you do since you're working for yourself? And I'm like, I'm a life coach. And there's a hesitation of like, I don't want to tell them what I really do because I don't want to explain human design. I don't want to explain like what I do and that it might be too weird. So like there's this wanting to be out there and here's what I do. And then there's also this like, oh, but don't see me because it might be a little too weird for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I heard, I think it was Brianna talking about how you are not your business, like that blew my mind. Like, well, why wouldn't I be my business? I own this business. This is my business. And like, and my mom being a business owner and seeing how she, you know, did business back in the 80s and the 90s, like her business was so tied to her that her name was on all the stuff. So it kind of blew my mind when I was like, you are not your business and your business is not you. And I was like, wait, what? Excuse me.
Yeah.
how am I not my business? How is my business not me? Because I am my solopreneur. Mm-hmm. That's all I am. But so that, yeah, that was just a little bit of a mind shift for me that like my business is separate. And that's one of the things that you really taught me is that my business and its energy are separate from me. And when I'm tangled up is when I'm getting pushy and when I am getting like, why won't this work? And I'm, you know, end up sick because I've just been pushing so hard. Mm-hmm. And so that was a real eye opener to understand that like my business is separate.
Yeah.
It can be a real, I don't want to say it's a mind F, but it can be when you start getting into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, especially in this age of personal brands, it gets really confusing too, because you're like, my business is literally my name.
Yeah. I didn't know what else to call it.
I know. So you're like, how is it not me? But it's just a name, you know? And I would bet that most people, even if they look back on like their LLC filings or whatever, it's probably not just your name. Like there's probably some other words in there. It is separate, mm-hmm. but I don't know, this is down the rabbit hole a little bit, but I feel like in this area of social media marketing and things like that for personal brands, it just makes it even more messy than mm-hmm. it has been in the past. And and so like for any listeners that have a business, if I could offer one piece of advice, it's just to sit down and close your eyes. And like, you know, if you can see your business as like an energy field, see it like that. And if you can't, like, I don't know, put a basket on the side or something that can represent your business, and just like take an inhale and imagine calling all of your own energy back to your heart. And then on every exhale, imagine sending any energy that you have from your business into the basket or into wherever you've got your business energy, and just like separate it out. Cause that's it's just an inhale, exhale. And you can do that practice, you know, try it like 5 to 7 times and just see if you can notice the smallest shift in how you feel. Because I bet that, I bet you can notice a difference even from just 5 to 7 breaths if you do it intentionally.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I love that. I love that advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm looking at my weekly witchy business cards, and this week's was all about boundaries and containment. So that fits perfectly. Yeah. So when we have known each other now for, 2.5 years, 3 years, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fall of 2023.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found so fascinating when we were first both starting our businesses, when we were meeting weekly, you talked about cycle syncing, and mm-hmm. I found it so fascinating, but because I learned how to work with the moon cycle because I had a hysterectomy 14 years ago, and I could never understand why my energy was like really high at certain times of the month and really, really low at other times of the month. And then somebody said, you know, there's the moon cycle, and the moon cycle is every 28 and a half days, 29 mm-hmm. days. And I started to track my cycle. I mean, it wasn't really a cycle, but I noticed it seemed to sync up so clearly with the moon cycle. Mm-hmm. And not having a period, it was like, okay, this helps me understand it. And so then you mentioned cycle syncing, and I was like, wait, what's that? So talk more about that and how you apply it practically and how you apply it with your business.
Yeah. So I will say, full disclosure, I am by no means an expert in this. There are books and people who do it like as a full profession that have dove way deeper into this subject. This is very surface level. But cycle syncing is essentially recognizing that as a woman, you relate to the world in different ways depending on your hormone levels. So our hormones fluctuate throughout the month. And there's certain things that are our superpowers during certain times of the month. So, for example, When you're menstruating, it's a great time for like kind of, if we're linking it up to a season, it would be kind of like winter where it's like we're hibernating a little bit. We're maybe receiving, we're maybe a bit more connected to if we have a meditation practice or to source or universe or God or whatever you want to call it. It's like we just have almost kind of an open communication line at that point in time. And so it's a great time for receiving downloads. It's a great time for thinking of new ideas, but not executing them. It's like the, you know, kind of the visionary things can come forward, but it's like the smallest little seeds. As we start moving into different stages of our phase. So for myself, I try and if I'm going to batch social media content, I try and do it when I'm ovulating. Because your ovulation phase is like your superpower is like being out there and being seen. You want the world to notice you. You know, if we're looking at our actual cycle, the ovulation phase is when you can get pregnant. And so this is like biology being like, look at me, I'm fabulous. Come on in, you know. And so that really is a superpower if you're putting a public face forward where you're like, you know, look at me, and you feel so much more confident. You know, usually your outward expression is just more accessible for most people. And so it's like a great time for networking. It's, again, social media content is a big one for me because that one I don't always love, but I usually don't mind it when I'm ovulating. It can be like a great time to, if you want to like go out to coffee with a friend or just like be really outward, that's like, especially if you're someone who is like naturally a little more introverted or needs more alone time, planning it in that week when you're ovulating is like so nice because it's usually when you're going to be like, yeah, let's do this. And then your luteal phase is really like discerning. Like this is when we're going to go through, like if you want to, I like to review like if I've done any kind of a launch or had any kind of an offer and I want to see if things worked and things didn't. It's the perfect time to bring something like that because there's a decisiveness and a sharpness to your attention where you're like, yeah, this worked, this didn't. And there's like a, it's just like an easier, I don't know, like I don't have the patience for the stuff that doesn't work. So I just get it out of there. And if I need to look at anything and be really honest about what's working or not, that's the time to like do it. So I've just started using, that's obviously not everything, but that's like some of my favorite ways, practical ways to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for listeners, if you're looking at the moon cycle, so the new moon is the winter, that menstruating bleeding cycle. And then the spring is the waxing moon. So with the first quarter. And then the full moon is like summer and that's our ovulation. Mm-hmm. And then fall and the last quarter is that very discerning time. So for those of you that are past menopause, you can still use this cycle with the moon and the seasons. I mean, I talked about the seasons my last episode about the spring season, and I love using the seasons. I love using the moon cycle. I love using all of these energies, and I'm finding it so interesting how human design, the gates in human design are also mirroring the seasons, and it's so fascinating.
Fun.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the gates yet. Sounds exciting.
And if you look at your chart, the gates are the ones that are on the left and the right hand side, and they're the ones that light up the numbers in your chart. So
okay.
And for anybody who's curious, Heather is a 5-1. She is this practical leader. She's also a generator. I feel like that connection with her. But your decision-making process is trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
So
I really like that. It's really nice, I must say.
Yeah. So if anybody's curious about Heather's story with her family, she's the one I talk about a lot of times. You hear me talk about her son, you know, needing to know if they're going to do hockey or soccer and having him sleep on his decision making. So you can go back and find an interview from last May that Heather and I did together. And I love that story so much about, like, it literally changed your family.
It did. I still do that. Like, if he needs to make, I mean, sometimes it's like, if it's his turn to choose where we're going out to dinner, I need to give him some time to think about that. He cannot be asked, like, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? Mm-hmm. No, he just revolts and is like, I don't want anything. So, yeah, we have to plan ahead, which I will say as a sacral is a little hard because I'm like, what do you mean you can't just decide like right now?
And you have three of the types in your household.
Four.
So you have.
I'm a generator. My husband is a manifesting generator. My oldest son is a manifester. My middle son is a generator and my daughter's a projector.
Okay. So you have all the energies, all of the.
Yep. Except a reflector. I met my first reflector in real life not that long ago. It's like, you're the first one I've met.
We know another one mutually and I'll tell you offline.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And when I learned that, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Cool.
Yeah. So Heather, how can people find you? Tell me more about where they can find you and if you have anything special going on.
Yeah. So I am primarily on LinkedIn now, I will say. So I'm just Heather Wick on LinkedIn. You can find me on Instagram at the Heather Wick. My website is sacredboardroom.com. You can visit there. And I always offer a free energy diagnostic. So we'll just sit down together and I will do a phone call with you and I will let you know kind of what I'm seeing going on in your business's energy field. And just see how I can be supportive. I currently have three spots open for my chief energetics officer retainer work. So if that's something that you're interested in, having energy work in your business every week for 3 months, you can schedule a business energy diagnostic and we can see if it would be a good fit to work together. But I do have a couple of those spots open for Q2 and that is about it right now. I do some one-off sacred boardroom sessions. But primarily, I'm working in the retainers now. So that is the deepest and most, I will say, like the most transformative experiences for most people.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, having had that diagnostic, it was like I changed things on my website. I had things that I didn't even realize were there or just showing up in my business that were so... You noticed them and I was like, well, why didn't I notice them? But you could see the energy. And like, I think I changed some photographs and I changed some ways that people talked about me in the quotes that I used and the testimonials. So that was, it was really amazing. And just, so I highly encourage you, if you are a business owner, get that diagnostic. It's really amazing. So, well, Heather, you know I love you. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
I know. It's been so fun. I'm like, can we talk longer afterwards? Because I'm not done yet.
Well, thank you for joining us, everyone. It was such a pleasure. And we will talk to you soon. Oh, I just thank you, Heather, for joining us. I just love hearing about business energetics. It is so fascinating to me. So if this episode resonated with you, please share it with a colleague or a friend or an entrepreneur that you know who has a business. I would be so grateful. And if you could, click the plus sign to subscribe to the podcast and then go to Apple Podcasts, leave me a review. I'll see you next time, friends. Be well.